Good afternoon. This is Joan Perros with Radio Liberty, sitting in for Dr. Stan. We're broadcasting to you from the beautiful hills overlooking Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is going to be Kathleen Duhl, and we're really pleased to have you with us today. Kathleen, are you on the line?
I'm here, Joan. Thank you so much for having me.
We are just thrilled that you are with us, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Kathleen. Kathleen is one of America's leading advocates of alternative and complementary medicine, and she has had a stunning career in a number of fields. She's managed medical offices, and she's spent time with Exxon Office System. She was one of their top 10 sales representatives and belonged to their prestigious President's Club. In fact, she was one of that firm's first and only women that was appointed a branch operations manager. And I kind of relate to that, Kathleen. I was one of the first women to become a State Farm insurance agent.
Okay, so you know what we went through back in those early days.
It was interesting, wasn't it? And then Kathleen then started another, or she started her own business as president of Business Quarters, which was a very upscale turnkey office space business. And her clients were among the Fortune 500 companies and the Department of Defense. She built a multi-million dollar operation. Kathleen has tremendous managerial and organizational skills. And I understand now that Kathleen is involved with the value of magnetic technology as a therapeutic medium. And she's involved with the marketing of magnetic and far infrared wellness products. And in 1999, she was the distributor of the year. And now she's also started another third company, which is her Cassandra Books. And her first book is the Cancer Cover-Up book. And that's a very exciting topic. There are so many people, Kathleen, that have been touched by cancer and can plan to be affected by cancer. What are the statistics, Kathleen, of the number of people that eventually end up with some form of cancer?
Well, last year, for example, 565,000 people died from cancer. Three times that number were diagnosed. And in fact, 30 or so years ago, the diagnosis was about 1 in 53 people contracted cancer. Today, we are down to 1 in 3. And within a few years, maybe as little as 2 years, we'll be down to 1 in every 2 people will receive a diagnosis for cancer. And the chilling thing is that it's happening younger and younger and younger.
That's shocking. Well, where would you like to start with the information you're going to provide to our listeners? Because obviously it's pertinent to everyone that's listening. If it's not ourselves that will be affected, it will be a loved one.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I guess where I start is that the reason I wrote the book, obviously, is because my husband had been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. And because we had already entered into the world of alternative therapies years earlier, and he had been using two all-natural therapies in helping other people fight not only cancer but autoimmune system diseases, when he got his diagnosis and he was told that his cancer was, quote, out of the box, it was not just in the prostate any longer, it was out and in the lymph system. And they said, you've got to have your prostate out. If you don't, you'll be dead by the end of the year. And he was diagnosed in January of 99. And he said, but why would I go through that horrendous surgery if it's already out of the prostate and it's elsewhere in the body? Why would I go through that horrible period of recuperation, which is a good 3 to 4 months, and risk certainly being impotent, but even worse for him, being a physicist and therefore anal retentive, you know, having to wear a diaper. The prospect of having to wear a diaper for the rest of his life wasn't a happy one. And So he said, no, I'm just going to use the alternatives that I've been, you know, helping other people, advising other people to use that don't destroy your immune system like chemo does and that, you know, don't burn you and all like radiation does. I'm just going to, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go my way and still be intact if I can. And so he started out on that highway and, of course, saved his own life and became cancer-free. And the book is really about the battle that we have had with our state that we live in, the state of Maryland, and with the federal government over the use of these alternative products and claiming what they do. You know, I grew up, as you did, I'm sure, in the United States of America, believing that this is a free country and that we can speak the truth. And lots of people died for us to be able to do that. And yet what we found was that when we told people what these two products could do, and in particular we made a brochure up about one of them based on many, 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 probably close to 80 or 100 studies, and we took the information from those studies and we made like a brochure, a very lovely, beautiful brochure, quoting from those studies as to what this product could do. The government came down on us like you wouldn't believe, and we've been 4 years in courts of law. We are over $2 million in defending ourselves. We and the nightmare, the horror story of this whole thing is that, again, like any American, you grow up thinking that if you get in trouble with the law, you get a jury of your peers. Well, that didn't happen to us. My husband and his partner were indicted for using these two all-natural, harmless, no side effects products, advising people to take them if they wanted to. Nobody was putting a gun to anybody's head. People came to them searching out other avenues for treatments. And we found that we can't, you know, you tell the truth and you don't get a jury of your peers. You get taken to a magistrate's court where people lose their driver's licenses. You don't get any jury, and you're not allowed to present the witnesses that you have on your witness schedule because...
We're coming up on a break, but that is a wonderful part of your book, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Joan Parros with Radio Liberty sitting in for Dr. Stan this week. And if you're not supporting Radio Liberty, you really need to take advantage of that because not only are you helping Dr. Monteith and his family do the tremendous work that they're doing, broadcasting 5 hours a day, covering the entire world on, I think it's over 50 radio stations now, internet and shortwave. And the messages that are brought to you by Dr. Stan just are not available in most places. And so by subscribing to the monthly newsletter for a minimum of $20 a month, you'll receive some wonderful information every month as well as the four best tapes of the month from all of the interviews that are done through Radio Liberty. So if you haven't already signed up to be a supporter and join that family of listeners that are helping with this wonderful work, then do please call Radio Liberty at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And I believe the letters come out to 1-888-245-4237. And also, we want to remind you of a conference that will be sponsored by Radio Liberty on Saturday, November the 23rd at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course Clubhouse. And that will be an all-day event. Tickets are $49.95, and you don't want to be left out this time because last time Dr. Stan did this, they sold out. They had a lot of people show up at the door, so please get a hold of us right away so that you can reserve your seat for that conference, full board of speakers.
Mm-hmm. book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going to the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is Joan Perros with Radio Liberty, and we are back on the air with Kathleen Duell. And Kathleen has just begun to tell us about her wonderful book that she's written, and I have to tell you, I've gotten about halfway through it, and it is an excellent, excellent read for resource, for background, for research, and you can't say that about every book, but Kathleen, you really did a great job with Cancer Cover-Up. And just real quickly before you pick up the story again, can you give people a number to call or your website address if they would like to get a hold of this resource?
Oh, I appreciate that, Joan. Yes, the name of the book is Cancer Cover-Up. The telephone number, which is a toll-free number to call, is 866-769-7961. And the website that they can look at is www.cassandrabooks.com, and that's C-A-S-S as in Sam, Sam, A-N-D-R-A-B-O-O-K-S, CassandraBooks.com. They can also look at a second website, which is cancer-coverup.com, and they can read the works there of Dr. Otto, Dr. Keith Brewer, who is the man who used cesium for the very first time in 30 cancer patients back in the early 1980s, and these were people that had been through all of the other conventional therapies, including surgery and chemo and radiation, and now who had weeks to maybe 2 months max to live. They all suffered from varying types of cancers, and they were all in stage 4. He treated each of them with cesium, and as you'll see when you look at the book, I have the whole report in the book. In the abstract of the report, he states that in every case, each tumor mass disappeared. And in addition to that, within 12 to 36 hours, the pain that these cancer patients were suffering also was eliminated, because the cesium neutralized the lactic acid, which is what causes the pain in a cancer patient. And a year later, every one of these 30 patients of his were still alive and cancer-free. And he published his paper in 1984, and at that point in time, that was the last you ever heard about cesium. And in fact, he was shut down, and there is a library established to him where you can get information on the website, too. Just look up Dr. Keith Brewer, and it'll bring you to his website. There's a library established to his memory in Wisconsin, and there is not one original document in that library because everything was seized. And it's just criminal. And in 1994, as I'm sure you know, Joan, the Deshaies Law was passed, the Dietary Supplement and Health and Education Act, which says that you can provide supplements to the public, and you can state on the label what these supplements do. And yet our FDA, who has even been ordered by a court of law to allow this to happen, still has not allowed this to happen. So, you know, dietary supplements and vitamins are all under siege in this country, and we're very close to perhaps even losing the ability to go out and just go to a health food store and buy things ourselves without first having to go to a doctor and getting a prescription.
That's what I'm afraid
for a vitamin.
Of. That's what I'm afraid of.
And as you know, most doctors don't know squat about nutrition or about vitamins.
Unfortunately, they don't get much of that in medical school.
They don't get it in medical school, and even if they do, they only know about the recommended daily allowance, and of course, that's not nearly the amount that most people's bodies require. So the cesium was one of the protocols that my husband was advising people to use, and the other protocol was a very highly concentrated form of aloe vera. And there is a major university in this country that has done many of the studies on aloe vera. They know exactly how valuable this product is for the human body and for the immune system. It is a huge immune system booster. And the way we became aware of it was because a fellow named Alan Hoffman approached us knowing that, you know, we were involved in alternatives, and he said, you know, for the last couple of years, I have been using a very highly concentrated form of aloe vera on AIDS patients right here in Baltimore with stunning results. And he came to know about this information through an old medical journal that he'd been reading, which stated that when you concentrate aloe vera to very high levels, like 100 times, you know, the concentration that comes out of the plant, that at that level of concentration, it's like a pharmacy in a plant. It addresses so many things in the body, including building the T4 lymphocytes, which is your immune system, and modulating the T8 lymphocytes, which are the ones that attack your body in the case of an autoimmune system disease, and that when you give this protocol to AIDS patients, that it literally, after about 3 weeks, you've got one T cell that's been built up. After about 1 month, you've got maybe 10 T cells. And several months down the road, you've got hundreds and hundreds of T cells. Now, we all know that AIDS patients lose T cells and they die. But he was giving them this concentrated form of aloe, which was called, he was calling it T-up for upping the T cells. And what was happening was they were watching the AIDS virus just kind of go to sleep or go into hiding somewhere in the body, and the symptoms were retreating. And eventually these people were actually able to go back to work, to hold full-time jobs. They were living reasonably normal lives. It was quite incredible. And in addition to that, the herpes virus that many of these people suffer with was also going away, or not wasn't being cured. It was just going to rest somewhere in the body. It wasn't rearing its ugly head, you know, with symptoms. And in about 4 or 5 months of taking this protocol, they were seeing that Kaposi sarcoma, which is a very fatal, rare type of skin cancer that many AIDS patients get, and it often kills many of them, that this skin cancer was literally disappearing. It wasn't going to sleep. It was gone, disappearing. And when we saw that it was having this kind of an effect on cancer, we thought, well, my gosh, what other kinds of cancers might it address? And so as people would come to us asking, you know, do you know of anything we might be able to use for this or anything we could use for that, we started just telling people about this product, and we found that not only was it helping AIDS, but it was doing phenomenal things for cancer people. It was through the research that my husband was doing on this protocol that he stumbled over the information about cesium. And so then, you know, went delving into that to find more information, and unfortunately there's very little information out there. But he has spoken to many of the people that were associated with Dr. Keith Brewer and the works that he did. And so he and Alan Hoffman started recommending cesium to people, and with stunning results, because cesium, which is the Earth's most alkaline element. It's number 55 on the periodic table. It's just the most alkaline element there is, and many of us know from reading Dr. Otto Warburg's works, and he was a doctor who back in 1925 in Germany wrote a paper that won him the Nobel Prize in 1931. That paper was on cancer, and it's been accepted as the Bible on cancer, even by our own illustrious NIH. And he said in that paper that cancer is anaerobic. It cannot live in a high oxygen environment. Well, Keith Brewer, all these many years later, still trying to come up with a way to get oxygen into the cancer cell, figuring that if cancer is anaerobic and it can't live in a high oxygen environment, let's get some oxygen into the cell. But how do you do that? And you know that people have been using ozone therapy and hydrogen peroxide, I think, therapy. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've got the wrong word there. But either way, they've tried different things, but they've never really accomplished getting this protocol into the cell. It's only gotten into the bloodstream. Well, Keith Brewer, for years, studied for the mass spectroscopy lab. He headed up that lab for the United States government, and all he did all day long was study the cell membrane and how it opens up to accept certain things into it and how it keeps very closed down not to accept other things into it. And after years of playing with cesium and trying to figure out how to get the cell membrane to open up and accept this very large molecule, just using simple things like zinc and vitamin C, just antioxidants, he was able to manipulate the cell membrane to open, accept that cesium, and it immediately started killing cancer cells.
We'll be right back. This is Joan Perros with Radio Liberty, and we're broadcasting to you from Santa Cruz, California, and our guest today is Kathleen Duell. Radio Liberty is a listener-supported station, and if you haven't taken advantage of becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family to support the work that's done and to help pay for the airtime, please call the station at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and that's 1-888-245-4237. Or if you're in the Monterey Bay area, in the local calling area, it's 831-464-8295. Now, we want to remind you that there is an all-day conference being sponsored by Dr. Stan and Radio Liberty on November the 23rd. That's a Saturday. The doors will open at 8 a.m. The conference will go from 9 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night, $49.95 to come in, and you'll have a whole host of speakers that day. I'm going to be talking about Johannesburg and the Sustainable Development Agenda. To register, call 1-800-544-8927. And again, that number is 1-800-544-8927. It's so important to get registered, because last time a lot of people showed up right at the end, and I think they, you know, were too many people there to come in. So you really don't want to miss out. Dr. Stan's going to be talking about the coming financial crisis. He'll be speaking on how to prepare for medical situations and the emergencies we'll be facing, and also the spiritual nature of this battle. So, again, we hope to see you there. There's a great panel of speakers lined up, and, again, there will be a syllabus that will be very worthwhile to you with research on all of the information the different presenters will have. This is Joan Parros with Radio Liberty, and we are back on the air with Kathleen Duell. She is the author of a wonderful book called Cancer Cover-Up. And I would like to give out the phone number for the station if you'd like to call in. We do have someone on the line, Kathleen. But for anyone else that would like to call and ask Kathleen some questions, call the station if you're in the local area. Of course, we're at 464-8295. And if you are listening from outside of the 831 area code, then call us toll-free at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. So, Kathleen, can we take a call?
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you.
Okay. We have Roger from Allentown. And, Roger, are you on the line?
Yes. Thanks, folks. I have two questions, if you please. The first, I've heard references on a number of shows. The straitjacket on medical freedom, that is the Codex Alimentarius, was that proposed just for the EU, for all of Europe, or on the UN level, or what?
You know, if I could address that a little bit initially, you may or may not know that I attend a lot of the blockbuster UN conference, and the Codex Alimentarius is really on the front burner of the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations. And we really need to be aware of the Codex Alimentarius because it affects people all over the world. And when I was in Johannesburg, what's it been, about 2 months ago, I asked Dr. Jacques Diouf, who's the head of the Food and Agricultural Organization, about this new Global Conservation Trust, which is in the process of collecting all of the genetic material in the world and putting it into banks. And he advised me that the Food and Agricultural Organization is going to be in control of all of this information. I call it a global police state. What about you, Kathleen?
Well, I absolutely agree, and I think it's really going to come down to we're going to have a party of pharmaceutical companies and food companies controlling all of us. I mean, we've got food companies now that are owned by the tobacco companies. If they couldn't get us through cigarettes anymore, then why not go to buy out the food companies and start addicting us in other ways anyway to keep us getting fatter and sicker and developing more and more diabetes? And we already know that Ireland has lost their ability to walk into a store and buy products off the shelf. It came very close most recently in Europe, and they're not going to stop until they come here too. And as long as the approval process for drugs in this country hold sway over anything else, and the pharmaceutical companies continue to get richer and richer and richer while still always holding off alternatives. And they can do that because they say that alternatives haven't passed through phase one, phase two, phase three testing. Well, of course not. Nobody can afford upwards of $600, $700, $800 million and billion someday, as the numbers just keep rising steadily. It's enormous, the cost that it takes to bring a product to market. Nobody that has something that is not patentable, that is all natural, nobody has the money to put something like aloe vera through those kinds of studies, and it's not necessary because they're not drugs to begin with. It's only drugs that need to be proven, taken through phase one, phase two, and phase three studies because they're harmful and they kill people. And in fact, they're right now the third or fourth leading cause of death in this country is prescription drugs taken the proper way. And so until we can get competition in this country, as long as the pharmaceutical houses have free rein to hold sway over anything that goes on in the medical arena, we will be the losers. If we take away that freedom that they have and allow competition from the nutraceutical companies and the alternative companies, you will start to see so many cures for cancer. We know that cancer can be cured in many other ways besides using cesium and aloe. There are other things out there as well, but you'll never hear of them unless you go out and try to research and find out about them, because they're constantly being laughed at by the hospitals and the doctors and the NIHs and the powers that be in this country. But you and I, people with brains in our heads that go out and research these things and learn about them, know that they exist, and we are using them, such as my husband did, and such as 5,000 or 6,000 people now that my husband and his partner have helped. And the thanks that they've gotten for it is my husband's partner is sitting in prison for 4 years for transporting a quote-unquote drug, aloe vera, across state lines.
Mm.
They're still trying to indict my husband. They've had 3 grand juries that they've pulled together. So far, they have not been able to indict him. And, of course, the reason for that is he really was just the person that gave the money to Alan Hoffman to develop these products. And then, of course, we tell people about them. But my husband never actually treated anyone, and so they haven't really been able to put their finger on him. However, it has cost us over $2 million, and we've been fined over $5.5 million for recommending to people 2 natural alternatives that never hurt one soul.
That's outrageous. Well, anything else, Roger? We've got some more callers.
Yes, one last question. The cesium, presumably that's administered in a gaseous form, and secondly, that it serves as a light to moderate oxygen binder. And third.
Well, now you're getting over my head, but no, it is not. It is not administered the way you're talking about. If you go to the Cancer Cover-Up website, you can read all about it. There is an actual newer version of the cesium that is out there that is very, very phenomenal. But frankly, I don't talk about it because I don't want the wrong people to know about it.
Very good.
So you just have to find it out through other ways, starting with the website.
To be fair to the opposition, maybe they're just afraid that they won't survive. They won't survive a competitive environment with nutraceuticals. God bless.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay. Ann, you're on the line.
Yes, I just had a quick question, but I think you answered it. Would these the references to the aloe vera in what form and the cesium be on your website?
There will be very little about the aloe right now on the website, and the reason for that was because Alan Hoffman was undergoing 2 different trials, a state trial and a federal trial, and we did not want to put anything on that website that could have been used against him in some way.
So we will
start to develop more of that information on the website now as time goes on. He just recently went to prison. The information that's on there regarding the cesium is really about all there is out there.
Okay. Well, the aloe vera, can you get that in concentrated form now? I know you can get aloe vera juice, but can you get a concentrate?
Yes, you absolutely can. And, in fact, there's some marvelous things going on as we speak with regard to the development of really super long-chain polysaccharide aloes that will knock your socks off.
And where can I find references to that?
You would have to start at the website.
Your website?
Yeah.
Okay, it says like cesium. I was searching the web to see exactly what that is. It likens it to potassium. Is that true?
It's in that family, but it's entirely different. There, on the periodic table, there is cesium, selenium, potassium.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. There's a 4th one, too. They're all in the same family.
Okay.
But it is cesium that destroys the cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it does that is, as you know, on the pH scale, goes from 0 to 14, 7 being neutral. Anything below 7 means that you are acidic and you're ill and it's malignant. There's a malignancy there. And when cesium gets inside the cancer cell, what it does is it raises the pH of the cell, not your pH of your saliva or your blood, but the pH of the actual cancer cell zooms up to 8, which is higher than your pH of your cells ever is, even from birth. You're born with a pH of about 7.3, 7.4, and that's where it stays until you get sick. But this brings it all the way up to 8, and that translates, there's actually a formula that translates that to an oxygenation of the cell, and cancer can't live in a high oxygen environment. That's how it destroys the cell. It's pure science. There is nothing, you know, lucky about this. This is pure science, and that's why my husband, who is a physicist and an engineer, was so drawn to it and so taken aback by this information. And we brought all this information to the NIH, for example. Nobody would talk to us. Nobody would return our calls. No one would respond to our letters when we sent the information to them. We have since talked to several people who have worked at the NIH or are currently working there who've gone to the higher-ups and said, do you know about cesium? And the answer from some of the heavy hitters there is always, oh, yes, we know about cesium. Well, why aren't we using cesium in the treatment of cancer? Because it works. If it works, why aren't we using it? And they've said, look around you. What do you think is paying for the medical centers that we have in this country? What monies do you think it is that's building the big heart centers and the big hospital centers? It's cancer money. Because the average cancer patient, they'll spend anywhere from $350,000 to $650,000 on the treatment of one cancer patient before they die.
Yes, the cancer.
It's a huge business.
A cancer doctor told me that when he got out of school from in New England, he said that they could have found a cure, but he did quote the price of each cancer patient that it makes. Can you get cesium in the health food store, like potassium?
No, and if you could, it's not the cesium that you want. There are, you know, you've got to be using the right cesium, and you've got to know how to properly take it. Because if you take too little, it will not raise the pH of the cell up high enough to kill the cancer cell.
Okay,
if you take too much, then eventually it could become toxic. So you really have to know what you're doing.
I see. Okay.
So it really has to start with reading that book and reading the website.
Let's give that website again.
Yes, the website. There are two websites. The book, to get the book, the website would be www.cassandrabooks.com. CassandraBooks.com. Just to read the story about the aloe and cesium would be www.cancer, and then put a hyphen, and then the word coverup, all one word, .com. cancer-coverup.com.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. Robert from Virginia, you're on the line.
Hello, yes, it's poor reception out here, and you just answered my question. I wanted to know what the website was. That's cancer-coverup.com.
That's right.
And what is the name of the book?
Cancer Cover-Up.
Oh, very good. And your name, your husband's name?
Well, I really don't want to say it on the air, or do I? Well, I'll tell you. My husband's name is Neil Duell.
Okay. And did he author the book with you?
No, I authored the book. I wanted to tell the story of what happened to him and to us as a family as a result of our fight with the government.
You won't be disappointed in this book, Robert. I do a lot of research, and it is very, very well read, and it's very understandable. And Kathleen doesn't just talk about the cesium therapy and the aloe vera, but she talks about a lot of other therapies, too, that have been successful.
Well, that's right, Joan, because it really brought me back to when my father was dying of cancer. I was 18 years old when he was diagnosed. He was only 48 when he was diagnosed, and at that time, something called Cryobiazin would have been available to my father had it been approved by our FDA in this country. The only way we could get it for him was to go to Mexico, and it showed tremendous promise and still does. However, because we didn't have any money, we couldn't do it, and so he died and never had the option of trying an alternative because he was never allowed to know about it. And that's the thing that's so wrong here. We are not allowed to know about them. You know, the Royal Rice Machine. I never knew about that.
How about Dr. Kelly? Have you ever heard of his work?
If you'd like to hold, we'll be back after a quick break. Hold on. This is Joan Perros with Radio Liberty, coming to you over the beautiful Monterey Bay. And I'd like to remind you one more time that Radio Liberty is producing a conference on Saturday, November 23rd. There's a panel of speakers all day. We'll have a syllabus for you. And just call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. To register for that conference and get more information. But we'd like you to get your tickets early this time because the last time Dr. Stan put on a conference, of course, that was sold out. So we'd like to see you all there on Saturday, November the 23rd, for the information you'll need to prepare for the coming hard times. This is Joan Perros, Radio Liberty, and we're back on the air with Kathleen Duell. And I believe we still have Robert from Virginia still on the line. You had another question, Robert.
Well, I had a couple thoughts here. One is, how do you spell your last name?
D as in David, E as in Edward, O-U-L.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered if you'd ever heard of Dr. William Kelly. He did research years ago on cancer.
Uh-huh. I don't believe I've come across him.
Oh, I swear, you remind me of him talking about your story. You can read his book at drkelley.com, drkelley.com.
Okay, K-E-L-L-E-Y?
Yes, drkelley.com.
Okay.
And I must say, he has a book that's right there. You just sit at the Internet and you can read it, download it. And it's very similar to what I could barely hear you saying. The reception out here is kind of poor in the short wave, but it's very sad that there are so many good people who have discovered so many good things, and it is so conspicuous that they are being held back, pushed down, and the foul play is incredible.
Well, it is, and we are not on an equal playing field because we just don't have the monies behind us that the pharmaceutical companies have behind them. And, you know, first of all, I'm here to say that I am not a doctor basher. I am not a medical arena basher. I mean, we all need doctors, and we all want doctors when we need them. And there are many wonderful doctors out there. But even the doctors are being tremendously misled, first of all, by the way they're being taught in school. And, you know, if it's not invented here, it doesn't exist. And, you know, when I first started using magnets on my body for a disease that had plagued me for 9 years, for which I'd had 6 surgeries, for which I was taking tons of medication for all of the pain in my body, and on and on, and one day somebody brought me a magnetic mattress and said, sleep on it, you'll feel better. And my immune system started to come back as a result of my being able to sleep for the first time in 9 years. And I haven't been sick since then, and it's been another 9 years. And yet when I went back to my doctors and I said, hey, guys, you have to look at these products. You have to look. I mean, my discomfort is gone, and I don't get my sinus infections anymore, and I don't have the headaches I used to have, and you know, I can walk. My walking had been impaired, and all kinds of terrible things had happened to me. Nobody could fix me. All they could do was pump more drugs into my body, making me sicker, and cut me 6 times, and still no diagnosis. And yet I started using magnetic and far infrared products, which changed my life, gave me back my quality of life, and I went to tell this to my doctors, and they just laughed me right out of their offices. And that's when I made up my mind, and I said, you know, all right, if you won't listen to me, then I'm going to have your patients listen to me, because I'm going to go out and I'm going to find them, and I'm going to help them with these products, and I'll sell them to them at my cost, so I don't make any money on the deal. And one day you will have more patients coming through your portals telling you about these magnificent technologies and that I was able to help them when you couldn't. And then that's the day you will be calling me to help you and your family. And do you know that 4 out of the 5 of the doctors have now called me?
Excellent.
Because they now have hundreds of people streaming through their practices all the time, telling them the wonders of the results they've had with these products. So, you know, in the beginning days, doctors said, show me the studies. Where are the studies? Well, the studies were all in Japan and Germany and Iron Curtain countries, and they were all not in English. But now there are hundreds of studies, and I can walk into a doctor's office today and talk about these technologies, and they say, show me the studies. Where are the studies? And I say, wait a minute. The studies have been out for 6-7 years. You're just not reading them. You're not looking for them because you don't believe in this. And one day, and I predict this everywhere I go, I say this, and I really firmly believe it, the medical practices that are out there today, if in the next 10 years, if they do not incorporate alternatives or complementary medicine or integrated medicine, whatever you want to call it, if they don't incorporate those into their practice, you and I will not be going to them. We will start to go to the doctors who do. We've just had a major conversation, my husband and I, this evening with a major teaching hospital here in Baltimore, talking to them about, you know, if they want us to give them money, which we've given them a lot of money, then they are going to have to sit down with their chiefs of their departments and talk to us about opening up an alternative medical center in their hospital. And until that day happens, we will not give them any more of our money.
Excellent.
We've given them a lot of money.
Well, God bless you and your husband for your work.
Well, thank you.
it sounds like you've been through the mill. I guess through your website, people can get in touch with you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thanks for listening
shortwave,
right. Robert.
Good luck to all of us.
Thank you.
Jeannie from Aptos is on the line. Hi, Jeannie.
Joan, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I want to transmit a story because it's very important. It talks about the psychology that they're using in the hospital support groups. My husband had a beautiful young lady, a cousin, and she developed breast cancer. And for 5 years, she had chemotherapy and radiation. She showed me how they mutilated one of her breasts. They took off, and they scarred her terribly, and her internal tear ducts were sealed off, so the liquid from her eyes would always roll down her cheeks, so it looked like she was always crying. And her, when she went for her bowel movements, she had to scrape from the inside out. And I asked her what kept her alive and if she could go on a natural supplements and so forth. And she said, I really believe in the support group that the hospital has, and they push chemotherapy and radiation. And she believed that she was still alive after 5 years because of that. There was a man in the support group that left the support group. And I asked Carol, I said, how is he doing? And she said, well, he's doing fine. He seems to be in remission. And but she said in the next sentence, I want to bring him back into the support group again. And this is where they're indoctrinated that in the support groups of the hospital that chemotherapy and radiation is pushed. Well, Carol finally died after 5 years. She was an extremely strong immune system after 5 years of this. And so I don't know if we've talked about the psychology of these support groups in the hospital.
Well, you know, Jeannie, this is Kathleen. I really appreciate what you've said because one of the things I talk about as I lecture around the country, and I'm talking about, you know, my magnetic and wellness technologies that I help people with, and I talk about the fact that one day we took a gal who used to, she had a disease, multiple sclerosis, and she used to literally crawl around her home on her belly because she refused to get into a wheelchair. And one of the distributors in my company somehow was introduced to her, and he put her on a magnetic mattress and gave her some magnetic insoles for her shoes. And within 2 months, this girl was up and walking around as though nothing had ever been wrong with her. Now, she belonged to a group, a self-help group, she called it. And we wanted to talk. We said, please let us talk to your friends in that group, because we know that these products will help them. We don't know what the potential is for help. We don't know if it'll make them 5% better or 100% better or anywhere in between, but look what's happened to you. And she said, yes, we've got to go and meet with the group. And we went to talk with them, and I brought my husband with me so that he could explain the science behind the technology to these people, because we knew they'd be terribly skeptical, and yet looking at her, they'd have to believe something had happened. And every one of those people sat there with their arms completely folded in front of their chest, looking at us with no smiles on their faces, as though we were aliens from another planet, totally disbelieving anything we were saying, discounting much of what we were saying. And what I quickly realized was this: a lot of these poor people have been written off by their families. A lot of the women, their husbands, you know, really are up to here with paying the medical bills. And I'm not saying all of them. There's so many wonderful people out there that give such wonderful, loving care. But I've seen so many who've just totally been abandoned by their loved ones because they've had it up to here with the illness. And these self-help groups become the replacement family for these patients. And they can't get better. If they get better, they lose all ties to any family that's left in their lives. And it really is, there's a psychological damage that takes place there, I believe. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, and I don't pretend to be one, but I've talked to enough of these people to know that there's so much damage going on, and they're helpless because they're not the breadwinners. They are subject to the whims of the person who controls the pocketbook as to whether or not they can get these products and use them to help themselves or any other therapies that are out there available. It's a sad story in so many people's lives.
Kathleen, we've just got 1 minute left. If you'd give us your closing thoughts. And Jeannie, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Well, my closing thoughts, I think, have to be that we must work on changing the laws in this country. We simply have to get people out. I don't care if it's a million person march on Washington, a real million people, not 200,000. I don't know if it's letters. I don't know. My belief is this: if we don't have equal playing field, if we don't have our own radio stations, if we don't have a television station where people can turn on and hear about these alternative, harmless, all-natural products and be educated. Education is the answer to everything. But if the American public is not aware of the things that we're talking about because their doctors certainly aren't aware and aren't giving them that information, and if the doctors aren't given the right to tell people about them without risking losing their licenses, then I don't know where this whole thing ends up. We've got to change the laws. We've run out of time,
but thank you so much for being with us today, Kathleen.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Sue, and I've enjoyed it.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.